to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 229 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. And once again, I think this is the last week. I have to go back and look at the dates, but I think this is the last week that this week's show will be brought to you by Manscaped. So this has been a lot of fun. I'll get to those guys in just a minute. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Man, five races into the season, we have ourselves five different winners. That's a little bit of the theme tonight. That's the question I asked you guys. I've got my take on that and all that good stuff. And I'm going to tease it. I think that trend is going to continue for a couple more weeks here. And like I said, I'll get into that here in a little bit. Man, got Atlanta this week. Guess what, Lap Traffic Nation? Tires going to play a big role this weekend at Atlanta. Very excited about that. And then, hey, we got some dirt. We got dirt racing coming up. Man. Excited. Lots going on. All right. What'd you guys do this weekend? For us, Friday night, went and took dinner to a friend that had quadruple bypass a couple weeks ago. It was great to see him doing well. Saturday was fun. Every couple months, Lindsay and I get together with some of her very close college girlfriends and their spouses. We rotate houses. Everyone crashes. It's just such a fun time. And typically, we got a food and alcohol theme around and all that good stuff. So that was Saturday. Got home Sunday. Early afternoon. Did not get anything on the barbecue or on the smoker on Sunday. I was sad to see that trend end, but it will definitely be picking back up this weekend. Sunday and Saturday and Sunday. I mean, we got basketball. We got March Madness kicking off. We've got a doubleheader, and we got a cup race. Lots going on this weekend. Very excited about that. Couple things real quick. So I got to tell you guys this awesome story real quick. If you've listened to the show for a long period of time, you know that I kind of got my fandom in NASCAR started with my grandfather, who worked for GM at the GM Tech Center that he lives and I live, a half mile away from. And, he used to do a lot of stuff with GM, went to a lot of races, did a lot of traveling. And he's 90 years old. He turned 90 in January, still kicking, still going, which is awesome. But anyways, my dad was helping him clean out some stuff in the basement and stumbled upon a hat from 1993, an ARCA race that was held at Michigan, the Goodwrench 200 from 1993. This hat's totally 90s. It's got like that purple and turquoise, kind of a logo. I will tweet a picture of this thing out. But the very cool part of this is that it was signed by Dale Earnhardt Sr. And it's been in perfect condition. It was in a box. I asked him, did he get that from him coming into the tech center at some point in time at the track? He couldn't remember that, long time ago for him. And so I text a picture of it to the Orange Cone, who obviously has a big Michigan background and all that. And he right away said I was at that race, and I figured he would have been the one person that would have been there. So it's very cool. It's an awesome piece to add to the collection, very sentimental piece, and it's in a helmet case right now until I get like a pretty cool hat case or I figure out some type of display around that. But like I said, I'll send a picture of that out when I post the show. Very excited about that. And speaking of hats and such, I'm excited to announce that by the time you're listening to this, it will be live. But I talked about it. The Lap Traffic store has a facelift, some updated merch, some new merch, some softer material t-shirts and hoodies. I joked last week saying it's like you're getting a hug when you put on this hoodie. That's how soft soft it is, and much more user friendly on the website. And hey, I kept quite a few of the t-shirts at $15. Not like I want to make money or a ton of money, because that's not the goal, but it's really just to get it out there. But some stuff's double-sided, front and back, so then they charge me more for that. So some of the shirts are a little bit, t-shirts anyways, more than $15. But also there are some hats. Yes, some Lapped Traffic embroidered hats are available. So go check out the store if you want to help support the show, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the store. There's also an image on the homepage that if you click that, it'll take you right to the store as well. Okay, more on that in the social media thing there. Last week, man, bonus shows have been a theme, guys. The last month have done two shows a week. Last Tuesday had Pat DiCola from NASCAR.com and kicked off the first bonus show with Dustin Albino from Jayski.com on Thursday. It was ironic that last week kind of centered around the .coms, but it was a good time last week. Go check it out if you haven't already. And this week, like I said, after 4 weeks of bonus show content, 4 weeks, eight shows, tonight is the only show this week. So one show this week. I'll tell you, it was a lot of work for a month straight, but it was a blast, and excited to have a little break this week and get caught up on some other stuff with just doing one show. But I said next week, Dustin will be back. If you've listened to the Jayski Show, which I hope you have, please send Dustin and I some topic ideas, segment ideas, you know, anything you might like to hear the two of us dive in on. We are open, encouraged, and are looking forward to kind of creating a unique broadcast, podcast, content, whatever you want to call it, as we continue to do these a couple times a month. So there's that. Ah, rolling. Wow, 7 minutes. Sorry, guys. Oh, man. All right. Coming up tonight, though, making his ninth return, Tyler Riddick is back on the show. Very excited to get to talk to him. You guys have heard me over the last couple weeks give a lot of praise to Tyler and RCR. So I'm really pumped to get him back on the show. I'll get a little recap with Phoenix for you guys, some social media shout outs. Aaron will have some Atlanta forecasting as well as some, I mean, we got to talk a little basketball. We have to, so that's going to happen. Lucky Dog Lap Down picks and fantasy to close it out. And real quick, speaking of fantasy, we've had a different leader each week as well in the Lap Traffic Fantasy. How long will that trend continue? It's close in the standings. Very close. You know, each spot is all like a point separates people. Like you pick up 10 points, you can pick up 10 spots in a lot of cases, depending on where you're at there. So that's pretty cool. All right, real quick, then we'll get to some content for you guys. This week's show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineer tools for the family jewels. I'm telling you, these guys, they got these products dialed in. They are absolutely incredible. They're reasonably priced. Everything is fantastic about Manscaped. You really feel like you're getting a like you go to Coach, buy the spouse or significant other a purse, you know, and they do up the packaging, you know, make it feel extra special. It's the same thing these guys do with their stuff. You really feel like you're pampering yourself, gentlemen, and it's pretty cool. So go get over to manscaped.com. Use code LAPPED, LAPPED, get 20% off and free shipping on your order. Okay. That is a long intro, guys, but hey, had to share a couple stories there. All right, let's get this thing rolling. Let's get Tyler Riddick back on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his ninth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number eight Chevy with Richard Childress Racing. He has 9 wins and 86 starts in the Xfinity Series, back-to-back championships, and is on his way to an incredible Cup career. Welcome back to the Lap Traffic Podcast. It's Tyler Riddick. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Just counting down the days, getting back to the racetrack again. Atlanta and Bristol coming up are going to be two exciting ones that kind of different from the status quo that we have week in and week out normally with the Cup Series.
Absolutely. No, that's for sure. Let's you know, it, when we think about Atlanta, you know, it's all about tire fall off, tire management and all that. You know, what's Tyler's tricks for saving some tires there for some long green flag runs?
Well, I think that's actually been part of my problem there is I've put a lot of emphasis in tire conservation, and I think I may have put too much into that. You know, running on the bottom and trying to run in the preferred lane where a lot of the rubber's laid down is important. But, you know, with these cup cars, you really do burn them up running in traffic more so than you would in the Xfinity series. So I think it's important to just manage that a little bit differently. You know, I think being around the track and trying to get ahead of cars while the tires are good, you know, you can be more aggressive, I think, with this cup car and with the tire that we had last year that we're going to have again this year, I believe.
That's, you know, so like you said, you know, you got to adjust that a little bit, you know, with the lack of practice and qualifying and all that, you know, will you hop in a sim and you know, kind of adjust, you know, how you're running, where you're running with as advanced as sim racing is and all that in terms of tire wear and all that? Or, you know, or is it just kind of, all right, I think I know what I need to do at the drop of the green flag?
Well, you know, it's one of those things you want to be aggressive while everyone's trying to somewhat take it easy, feeling their car out, because that's the easiest time to pass. But obviously, you know, it's fine line. If your car is wrong and you ask under 10% of it, at start there, you know, things don't go right. That's a recipe for disaster. Sure. So it's all about managing that. But, you know, getting it all while you can, while the track's kind of green and somewhat fresh, I think is the right way to go about it. It'll only get harder to move around as the entire track just wears in more and more with rubber.
Absolutely. I'm with you. All right, man. Listen, it's been a kind of a crazy start to the year for you guys. You know, Daytona's Daytona, you know, a wreck at the road course, but then one lap away, basically, I think, from picking up the win at Homestead, you know, got into the wall at Phoenix here. But I mean, the speed seems to be there. The possibilities really seem to be there. You know, how do you shake off some of the unfortunate things from earlier in this year and use Homestead as that momentum to carry forward?
Well, I mean, you know, it was one of those races that it was all about staying in it and never taking ourselves out of it. But you know, the things that you do at Homestead to push and find speed at the end of a run don't really exist at a lot of the tracks that we go to. It's not quite the same. So you just try and apply what you can, and that's just the never give up mentality. Always fight and you know, go for it whenever it's time and wherever the risk meets the reward or aligns with it more properly. So we'll, you know, just being able to find that next gear and go to it is nice, but at the same time, recognizing that you really can only do that at certain places like that. Hopefully I can find that if I need it and if it's available for me at Atlanta, running the line on the bottom, or you know, some of these tracks we could possibly move around on coming forward.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Talk about Phoenix a little bit, since that was this past weekend here. You know, the reconfiguration there is really starting to take its own unique character. You know, guys are really learning how to fan out on them restarts, as we saw with Brad Keselowski on one there, almost clipped the exit of pit road there. But, you know, what do you think of the reconfigure now that we've gone there a couple times? And talk a little bit about the day that you guys had on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the track has, you know, it used to be very, very hard. I mean, it's still very hard on the car. Going across that transition like we do. But, you know, I think as we've kind of switched over to having restarts and having the start-finish line over there, I think that entire area is staying much more clean than it ever really used to be. Used to be it was so dirty down there you could do it, but your tires would almost be compromised driving back into the next corner. And we've really seen that change, and it stays a lot cleaner. So that all of that is free racetrack. It's there to use. You're cutting distance out. And the penalty that you would serve probably, you know, 3 or 4 years ago doing it isn't like it is now. The track's just a lot cleaner, and that that's that gives the drivers more options to get creative.
That's awesome. No, it's I mean, from the couch, man, it's fun to watch, that's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Listen, we've got some we got some tracks coming up that you've had a lot of success at in the Xfinity series. Any tracks that you got circled as ones that you're very excited about to get to this year, you know, second time around, so to speak, in the Cup series?
Yeah, when I look to these tracks, I think that a lot of them, you know, you have a different aero package in the Cup Series, and the depth of the field is just completely different. Lot more good teams and good drivers all competing at the top level. And when I think about that, you know, I really can only circle back and look at the success that I had, you know, at the short tracks in the Xfinity Series. Richmond actually was a tough one for us at times in the Xfinity car, but the last time we were there, in a Cup car, we ran really well. You know, Martinsville is one that we didn't really run the Xfinity car, but Randall Burnett loves that place, and he's allowing me to love that place. It's a fun track. You know, I think on the short tracks, it's just a matter of putting the entire day together.
Sure.
We find the speed and we capture it. Sometimes we have it and lose it. It's just about keeping the car in its window. And honestly, we could just have, you know, smooth, consistent day. It makes it a lot easier to be in that position and maintain it, manage it, so you have a shot at winning races.
No, I'm with you there 100%. You know, and you know, speaking of that, you know, in terms of the speed and all that, you know, over the years, it seems at least the last couple, you know, RCR has really started to find some of that speed that they had once lost. You know, it really seems like that organization and you know, you and Austin are really starting to re-elevate and put RCR back on the map in terms of, you know, we're hearing about you guys more on the broadcast, on the TV, on the radio, on social media, you know, and that's awesome. And I'm excited. It's been fun to watch. But do you feel that as a driver, you know, can you feel and sense that change that we've seen over the last couple of years?
Yeah, the gains are being made. Unfortunately, at the same time, we're dealing with, you know, I mentioned the Cup garage and the talented drivers and teams. You know, we made gains, but they're making gains too. So sure. It's a constant battle of just you know, chasing perfection, which is unobtainable, but you can get as close as you, it's all about trying to get as close as you can.
Sure.
And there's a lot of different you know, things in play. It's not just the fast race cars, it's you know, executing, you know, not making mistakes first and foremost, but then it's, you know, the pit road, it's just all the things add up, and that's what makes it so challenging. But that's the reward when everything comes together. It's an entire team effort, and when you do have the success, it's, you know, it's never really due to one person. It's due to the entire effort by the entire organization.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and that's, you know, baseball analogies, football analogies, you know, you can have the best quarterback, but if you don't have a line to protect that quarterback, then, you know, then it doesn't look like you got the best quarterback out there. And it's, you know, the same with the team, a racing team, you know. So it's fun seeing those pieces start to come together. And I'm excited for what RCR's future is going to hold, because it's definitely trending upward. And it's been, like I said, it's as a fan, someone that's not in it, you know, not at the races every weekend and all that kind of stuff, it's definitely noticeable on the TV screen. And I can only imagine how noticeable it is, you know, at the shop and all that. So, no, it's been a ton of fun to watch, and excited for the future for you guys and RCR as a whole. That's for sure.
Yeah, thank you. It's never ending grind, but that's what makes it fun.
Absolutely. All right, man. The $1 million question. Are you excited to go run some dirt here in a couple weeks? Well, a week and a half, really.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I'm just trying to manage expectations. You know, I feel like I've kind of been saying that, and it sounds bad to say that, but we truly don't know what we're going to get. We've seen hints of it at Eldora with truck guys, and we've seen some of the Cup guys come down and run it. But this will be the first time that you got, you know, a field filled with Cup stars that, you know, a lot of them have different backgrounds. Some of them don't have dirt racing backgrounds, but they drive the daylights out of a car nonetheless.
Right.
And when you throw them on this track, I expect to see a really tight race. I mean, there's going to be some guys that are going to learn a lot really quick through SMT. They're going to see it. There's a lot of things that tools that drivers have to look at to figure this out. And having a dirt race and then having SMT to look at things through this dirt race, it's going to be very unique. I've never done a dirt race or done a dirt test, anything with that. So drivers can be very easily able to see what the drivers are doing, and driver input's really, really going to mean a lot on a dirt track. And so everyone's going to be able to see what's going on pretty quick. And they're going to be able to adjust quickly through practice and throughout the heat races and the race itself.
Sure. No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to the truck race. And I mean, it's like you said, the level of talent that we're taking typically from an asphalt with 40 cup guys and throwing them on dirt, it's going to be a great experience to watch. And I'm looking forward to it. That's for sure. Tyler, where can everybody follow you at on social media, sponsor plugs, all that good stuff?
Yep. It's pretty simple these days. No fancy weird handle. It's just that, my name, Tyler Reddick, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. That's where I'll be. That's where I'll be hanging out. You can come check out what's on my feed, what's on the profile, and just never know what I'm getting into.
Awesome. I love it. All right. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Tyler Reddick for calling back into the show. Tyler, 9 times over 5 years. Thank you so much for the support. And the 10th appearance is going to have to be after that first cup win, which I think is coming this year for sure, man.
Well, we're trying. It's definitely, the effort is there. It's just about putting the pieces together and executing. It's something like that. It's, the things that we need to work on are things that, apply to all race, all types of the racing that we have. And so I feel like it's something that once we find it, it's not going to be something that only works here or there, like what we're able to do at Homestead from time to time. It's going to be something that applies everywhere. And hopefully that brings us the consistency and puts us up where we want our team to be.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. All right, man. Good luck this weekend. Talk to you soon and have some fun out there on the dirt.
Yeah. Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk again soon.
Take care, man. We'll see ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. So great to catch back up with Tyler Reddick. And, man, can't wait for his 10th appearance. Celebrate his first victory in Cup, man. That's going to happen this year, because otherwise, I mean, I set myself up to not talk to him until that happens. So it's got to happen this year. All right, guys, let's talk a little racing from this past weekend. So here's where I'm at. Doubleheader Saturday with the trucks, Xfinity. Didn't have a truck race this past weekend. Here's what I'll say. Trucks, Saturday, 2:30. This should be the second race, but I get why it's not. And while I get why it's not, I mean, how cool would it be? I mean, as the sun's going down a little bit, get some lights, get some night racing with the trucks on a Saturday night a little bit. Oh, man, it would just be a good time. Just be a good time. But it's not. That's okay. And we'll press on. Look forward to talking about some trucks though next week and recapping Atlanta there. All right, let's talk a little Xfinity here. So Austin Cindric picks up the win. It seems like every week in the Xfinity series, there are two or three top tier Xfinity drivers that have a bad race. They're involved in a wreck or have something go wrong. And this past week at Phoenix was no exception to that. Justin Haley finished 26th. Brandon Jones finished 33rd. Noah Gregson finished 39th. Some traffic fantasy players definitely impacted by those finishes. That's for sure. Cindric. I mean, he's just doing Cindric things, as I like to say. Penske's doing Penske things. I tweeted out on Sunday. Just going out on a tear. Looks like we could have our first maybe repeat back to back Xfinity champ since Tyler Reddick did it. And that was just right before Austin Cindric did it. So the only difference would be is that Reddick did it for two different teams while Austin would be with the same team. That said, though, I kind of want to just run down the standings here just because I really think it's interesting. You know, Ty Gibbs backs up his win a couple weeks ago with a second place finish, ran up front all day. As far as I'm concerned, if there were naysayers about his win, you know, coming out at Phoenix with a top two and a solid run all day, didn't back his way into that or anything like that, that should quiet some of the naysayers. I really think that, you know, that's a strong performance right there by Ty Gibbs. That's for sure. Brandon Brown with a top three. Hell yeah. That's awesome. You know, we've talked about, you know, Dustin and I, you know, Dustin's a very big Xfinity guy. That's what he covers for the most part. We were talking about the Xfinity series quite a bit on our Thursday show last week, you know, and one of the things was, you know, the stacked lineup in the Xfinity series, you know, and I brought up the point that, you know, for the last couple years, you know, once you get outside 12th and standings, there's a significant fall off and there's not really a chase or a race, if you will, for a bubble with the Xfinity series in the playoffs. And he really thinks that we may have a different case this year. And one of those guys that was on that bubble last year, he was the 12th guy, I believe, was Brandon Brown, you know, third place finish, starting the season off pretty well. So that's pretty cool. And then fourth place, Riley Herbst. Dustin and I talked about him as well. Dustin put out an article last week that was talking about how, you know, Riley kind of didn't realize he was going to be out the door, moves over to the SHR Xfinity seat there to replace Chase Briscoe, who moved up. You know, kind of felt like the impression was there was some last minute shuffling there and all that. So for those guys to come, you know, Chase Briscoe at 98 team was strong last year, you know, so expected the same this year with Riley Herbst. And, you know, now they're maybe starting to hit stride, which is pretty cool. You know, AJ Allmendinger, top five, backed up his win last week. I mean, I don't know how many times I got to say it. Colic Racing's awesome. Teammate Jeb Burton in six. You know, Justin Haley, as I mentioned, you know, finished 26. Listen, if you can get 66% of your guys in the top 10 each week, those are good numbers, you know. Every once in a while, you're going to have a bad day there. So, obviously, Justin will rebound there, but that's great for Colic Racing. You know, top five, top six finish there. Then you got Bailey Curry. Like, that's a name we aren't talking about very often, getting a top 10. You know, Justin Allgaier, solid top 10. Brett Moffitt, you know, kind of doing a little part-time Xfinity ride here with the O2 team. You know, top 10. I mean, that's pretty cool. Jeremy Clements, though. Now, this is what I really love. You know, everyone talks about Jeremy Clements being that good road racer picked up a playoff spot a couple years ago. And every once in a while, he surprises us at an oval. And if he can surprise us a few more times, you know, I think he was the first guy out in last year as far as the playoffs were concerned. I think he was 13th, you know, and I'm going to guess 120-plus points outside of 12th. You know, Jeremy Clements can pick up a few more top 10s like that. You know, hey, he may have a run at a playoff spot, which is freaking awesome. You know, they got Myatt Snyder, 11th. You know, Harrison Burton, 13th. I mean, this top 10 just really stood out to me as a unique top 10 finish in the Xfinity series at a place like Phoenix. I think that also adds to what piqued my curiosity. You know, Phoenix is, you know, Tyler had mentioned a few minutes ago, It's really taking its own character, and it's a tricky track. It is unique, and so for some of these guys to be able to go out there and get the finishes that they did, I think that's awesome. That's for sure. And listen, if you need more Xfinity content, make sure you're going and following Dustin Albino, follow Jayski. Dustin's doing a lot of cool pieces and excited to continue to highlight those along with some other stuff as he's a part of the show here every couple weeks, which is really cool. Like I said, if you didn't listen to Thursday's show, Dustin and I both kind of talked about what that Jayski brand means. You know, Dustin's honored to be working for them. Dustin represented Jayski at a track at Daytona for the first time in 10 years. And if you go to Jayski.com on the homepage, lap traffic right there, right-hand corner, bottom right. I mean, and we both just talked about the humbleness of being a part of that brand in some capacity or another. Obviously, I'm not as big as Dustin is and working with Jayski, but to have them recognize the podcast and Dustin wanting to be a part of a podcast and this thing just kind of falling into place as the good fit at the moment, and look forward to carrying that for a while. Let's put it that way. So, all right, that's the Xfinity Series. Let's talk a little bit about this cup race that we had on Sunday. Martin Truex Jr., fifth winner. I love it. All right, let's see here. Let's start with SHR. You know, abysmal finish last week at Vegas. They half rebounded this week. You know, Harvick with a top 10, Almirola with 11th place finish. Okay. It's not what we have come to expect from Kevin Harvick at Phoenix. I think it's not his playground anymore officially. And it pains me to say that, right? He's just struggled there as of late. I mean, he hasn't won there now in 3 years. And six trips there. He's got a sixth, a seventh, a second, a fifth, a ninth, and a fifth place finish since his last win back in March of 2018. You know, looking at those numbers, I mean, those are Kevin Harvick numbers at any track. You know, outside of that second place a couple years ago behind Joey Logano, he's not out there competing for wins at Phoenix. He is not a threat in the last 3 years, which is fine. You know, hey, guess what? It was probably an inevitability, right? You only are going to get so many of them before other teams start figuring some things out, you know? So tie in the, you know, other teams trying to get a little bit better there to take the wins away from him. Plus the reconfiguration probably playing a little bit of a role. He went on the tear way before that reconfigure there, you know? So that's probably playing a little bit of a role there. Let's see. Penske, man, they brought some fast cars this weekend. I mean, they won the Xfinity Series. I think they ran 1-2-3 for a while there in a cup race there. You know, and all three in the top 10. That's pretty good there, right? JGR looked pretty good with the exception of Kyle Busch, who had some issues out there. HMS, 3 out of 4 in the top 10. That's a solid day there. You know, I know Chase Elliott was one of the favorites there. Fifth place finish, you know, pretty much ran same spot all race, right? He started sixth. He finished, let's see here, fifth and ninth in the stages and brought it home fifth, you know? So, you know, solid day, a disappointment for the Chase Elliott fans out there, but a solid day. I thought this was really an exceptionally good Phoenix race. You know, we had our annoying competition caution, our two stage breaks. Outside of that, only 4 additional yellows kept the restarts interesting enough, but not gimmicky. I had a couple green flat pit cycles. We had some guys that didn't know what speed they were going down pit road. We had on track battles. We had some insane dive bombing into turn one. I mean, for me, Phoenix delivered. It seemed like most of you guys felt that way too on social media over the weekend. So I really enjoyed the race on Sunday. You know, we've had some unique races. Daytona's Daytona, had the road course. We've had a couple mile and a half. So we've had Phoenix. We're coming up to Atlanta this weekend, which we know that's going to be awesome. We don't know what the Bristol Dirt Race is going to bring, you know. So we're starting the season off very strong. All right, now let's talk about Martin Truex for a minute. You know, picking up the checkered flag, our fifth different driver, 5 races. You know, after struggling for so long to get that first short track victory a couple years ago, he's definitely racking them up now. And depending on how you score a short track, I think his last 4 wins are now coming on what can be considered short tracks. You know, here's the thing. He only got to victory lane once last year, picking up that win early in the year at Martinsville last year. He's picking up another early one this year. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Martin Truex Jr. go on a tear like we saw him do a few years ago. You know, picking up 7-8 wins, that might be a stretch, but, you know, 3 or 4, not out of the realm of possibility. That's not out of the realm of possibility for anybody yet. You know, we're talking about this streak and how long will it continue. At some point, somebody's going to bring home a second trophy this year, and maybe a third, and maybe a fourth. And man, to say the streak, is it the Undertaker? Is it WrestleMania here? But let's talk about this streak. I asked you guys how long this streak will continue and why. So let's get to some of your responses. Carson at Carson Haglin, 3 more weeks of new winners. And then at Richmond, we see Martin Truex Jr. score win number 2. Man, it's hard to argue that one, man. I could totally see that happening. Lisa at LL Chanana, I'm betting we see a new winner in Hotlanta in Bristol. Atlanta is a track that has Keselowski's name written all over it. As far as Bristol, I think the dirt is literally going to kick up and it will be anyone's to win. Jeff at JBev1789, I think we see a new winner this week. Can't help but think that 4 car is going to bring it, and the HMS cars have been quick. Streak stops at Bristol with either Christopher Bell or Larson getting win number 2. Jeremy at JR Lethal, he loves what's going on. That's what Jeremy had to say. And let's see, Softail 3. I think another winner at AMS, probably someone who has expected to win but hasn't. And then Chase, Denny, Harvick, not sure what to expect at Bristol, but it's dirt, so you got to believe Larson or Bell could end the streak. All right, so Softail 3. And let's see, Jeff, kind of on the same page, thinking Larson or Bell. I'm with you guys there. I think that is a very good possibility. But I think those guys are going to be – I wouldn't be surprised to see something like a Daytona road course happen where those guys are leading with a lap or two to go and they get tangled up and maybe third or fourth place maybe sneaks past there and picks up the checkered flag. That's what I'm seeing happen, which if that's the case, that just means it's going to be one hell of a race. So very, very excited about that. So, yeah, so my streak, I definitely have it going 2 more races, definitely at Atlanta. You know, Kevin Harvick, good possibility, right? Been on a tear there as of late. He's picked up the last couple there, so that's a good possibility. You know, HMS definitely has some speed there. And then the dirt race at Bristol. I got to go with Lisa there. It's anybody's to win. And I definitely think the streak continues for at least 2 more races. And you know what? I was going to say 3 into Richmond. But Carson sold me on that one, that Martin's got a good possibility of picking up the win there. So, all right, guys, that is going to do it for the race talk. Your questions there. Thank you so much as always. Let's keep things going with a little lap traffic social media. Everybody, make sure you get to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. If you've made it this far into the show, drop a review on whatever platform you're listening to. Don't forget about the giveaway, about 200-some followers to go, and got that Clint Boyer diecast and some Lap Traffic swag to give away. Got some new follower shout-outs for everybody. Susie Barton, at Susie_Margaret. No Tears Pod at No Tears Podcast, talking basketball, video games, and life from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Great part of the state of Michigan, my home state. Definitely going to give those guys a listen. Excited to see what content they're able to put out there. And you heard me talk about it at the top of the show. If you have just been itching for some Lap Traffic merch, some new merch, go get over to laptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the store. Check out the new store. It's gotten a facelift. There's new merch. There's new material. There's hats. There's softer t-shirts. There's 100 color options to choose from. There's stuff with just the front. There's stuff front and back. You name it, you can find it. And yes, there's even women's clothing specifically. So go check that out for sure. Help support the podcast if you want and sport some awesome Lap Traffic gear. And of course, if you want some stickers and a koozie, you can fill out the contact page on the website and I will send one out for free. Okay, I think that's it for the shameless plugs. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on to talk a little weather for Atlanta and some March Madness basketball. All right, Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather, along with Brian Newdorf at NASCAR_WXMAN. It should be some maize and blue Michigan Valiant Hail to the Victors music going on, but it's not, and we will get to that. Welcome back to the show, Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. The doctor is in. How are
yes,
you, sir?
I mean, I'd be better if we were listening to a little Go Blue, but we're not. That's okay. Let's start with that, man. Let's get right into March Madness. I warned everybody we were going to do a little basketball talk here, specifically okay. specifically Big Ten, and even more specifically Michigan related. Man, all right. So let's start with this. Let's start with a general topic that everybody can probably get behind here, and that is the lack of brackets going around. Have you noticed that?
Oh, I'm contributing to that. This is maybe the first year, and I really do not know how long that I have not done a bracket.
Yeah, like I haven't even like. I mean, everybody knows I'll do some squares for the Super Bowl and all that, and you know, it's all done electronically. It's so simple, and the only thing what I'm attesting it to up here is the fact that online. Legally, sports betting can be done. And so everyone's just like, screw it. No need to chase down and collect sheets and money from people. I'm just going to go and do this. And so that's at least what I'm attributing it to, the lack of brackets up here is that.
I'm going to, since we don't have legalized sports betting in Oklahoma, but I've seen the same thing here. I think it's just the unfamiliarity with the teams. I think with COVID, and I'm not sure what ratings have been. I couldn't tell you who's good, who's not. I usually good. It's not even an apathy. I'll put the games on.
Yeah.
I'll watch the games. I just don't know who's who, what's what. I never really got into it this year. I'll watch some Big Ten games. I'll watch Michigan play.
Yeah.
But even on a national level matchup, I think maybe part of it too is having the traditional powerhouses not
sure.
be traditional powerhouses. Duke, Kentucky, the UNC.
Michigan State.
Michigan State. Did UNC make the tourney? I'm not even sure.
Couldn't tell you.
There we go.
Yeah. So I couldn't tell you that, but here's what I can tell you is I would probably be more familiar this year just because of I'm paying attention to the sports betting side of things and who's like Baylor can't cover it. You know, they'll open up at a 25.5 point favorite. And I mean, every time I played them, they didn't cover that spread. Loyola Chicago was the same way. They couldn't cover a spread. You know, I paid more attention to teams, I think, this year just because I had, you know, that hook, that $20 on a, you know, Michigan to cover that screwed me, which then I tried to chase and that didn't help me so much. But, you know, that is what it is.
Do we need to run gambling PSAs on the podcast now just so you can hear it?
Right. it's funny. So, all right, you'll appreciate this. So I got a group text with me and two other buddies. And, you know, we were going back for a while there. I was, you know, when it first opened up, I'm sending them my hot take bets and all this kind of stuff. And they said, you might have a problem. And I said, no, we don't have a problem until you're betting like Detroit Mercy basketball. And sure enough. He goes, here, fine, I've got a problem. He bet like $5 on Detroit Mercy that night. So then, of course, I had to bet $10 on Detroit Mercy that night. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
Did you win?
Yes, we did win.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a problem. It's not a problem.
No.
If you win. If you lose. That's the problem.
I tell you, you know, I made an Excel spreadsheet that I've actually sent to a few people, Brett Morris being one of them, like, because it's so easy to get behind and not know where you're truly at from a, you know, where you're standing. So I created a sheet, manual calculate or auto calculations and everything, you know, what I deposited into the sites and what my balances are into the sites and it updates and from withdrawals and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's been up since January 15th and I'm ahead and we can leave it at that. But I mean,
that's fine. And that's how that beats how when you go to Vegas mm-hmm. or you go downtown
yep.
and you're going to go play blackjack, roulette, baccarat, whatever your game of choice is.
Yep.
You generally don't walk away from the table until you're down enough to say, well, I had fun. And you wind up trying to justify it.
Absolutely.
In your own head.
Yep. No, 100%. Wow. That was a left turn. I wasn't planning on going on. But let's
but
talk
it's probably
about,
more entertaining to folks than Michigan basketball. It's wild. So speaking of Michigan basketball, yes. Now we go.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. All right. I truly believe that the one seed was a gift in terms of they were rewarded for what they did at the bulk of the season and not their last five games. You know, they kept them close. But Livers going down is really going to hurt this team. You and I were texting about it a little bit over yes. the weekend. You know, we went from almost not a guarantee, but if there could have been a guarantee, I mean, Michigan was not even a plus bet for the Final Four. You know, you were paying a heavy vig on that in terms of if you wanted to take Michigan getting to the Final Four. And now we're pretending, not to say it's not going to still happen because one guy isn't the whole team, but when he's a solid foundation piece of that team, you know, if we can get to or past the Sweet 16 based on where we're at now, that would probably be a win.
I'll take a Sweet 16 game. I'll take a Sweet 16 matchup. I guess what's worrisome for me is that Livers has gone from, well, maybe in a couple of weeks to that very broad, vague, indefinite. And I know stress fractures, and I know he's had this problem on and off for maybe 2 years now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not his first time with that ankle.
Yeah, so he's missed 10 games with it earlier. I think it's looking at the matchups. I did look at a bracket and kind of read some. And it's like, yeah, I think it's funny because it looks like Michigan will play LSU in the Sweet 16 game and then play either Alabama or Texas. And I'm like, sounds like a college bowl game. You
right,
remember
yeah.
bowl games?
Oh, man, yeah. Michigan played Texas a couple times in a Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I think one of those was,
Vince Young.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, that's definitely some college bowl game matchups back in the day. So here's my thing is it's disappointing just because of how well that team did. They were rocking and rolling. And it's a bummer because of the fact of, you know, you want to use those, you want that narrative, you know, Juwan Howard, second year, taking the team to the Final Four. Like, that just got great storylines written behind it. You know, so I, you know, looking ahead, though, I mean, Michigan basketball's got, I think, if not the best, one of the top five incoming recruiting classes scheduled for like the next 2 or 3 years,
yeah.
Which is that's exciting. I mean, if we can't do it in football, let's do it in basketball. All right.
And I think looking at the short term, even I think Howard could be a difference as a coach in knowing his players and being a really good coach that could make a difference that gets him to the Final Four.
It's possible.
With or without Livers.
Yeah,
depends on how everything else happens, too. If Alabama or Texas get upset, if they have one of their key players go out hurt.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and so I got to give credit to where credit's due. Not that my credit is worth anything, but you know, I was a little nervous with the Juwan Howard hire, you know, just because he had never had coached college pro before, had the assistant level and all that kind of stuff, and really hadn't really had a bench role in quite some time. Cause I think it was more front office when he left, was it Miami or wherever he came from?
I thought he was an assistant, but yeah, I definitely agree with your point. And
you know, but so I'm very impressed. I'm very happy at it. And the outlook for Michigan basketball just seems to be, you know, a bed of roses, no pun intended, to the bowl games that Michigan football can't get to.
Right, and wow. you also look at a lot. Yeah, you went a long way to get there.
I did,
but you made your point.
Yes.
And but the one additional point I'll make here too is you look at another pro player who got hired at the exact same time or pretty close to the same time, and Penny Hardaway. He hasn't had that success.
Yeah. Yep. No. 100%. All right, sir. We've either bored or really kept the listeners entertained. We'll never know.
They'll let you know.
They will. They will. All right, let's talk a little NASCAR. This past weekend, Phoenix, man. What'd you think?
I missed the truck racing. Everything else was good.
Yeah.
Somehow though, about halfway, it's like is early stage two. I'm like, how is a 312-mile race dragging out? It really seemed like it partway into stage two. I'm like, they've just been racing forever. And then it picked up. How do they cut turn? I guess it technically is turn one.
Yeah.
How they're cutting turn one. Oh my God. It's just, you can't see anything like that any other place, at least on the in cup level.
No. Could you imagine if Keselowski had hit, if he had hit that with the left rear and spun up into the track? I mean, that would have been Demolition Derby Daytona style at Phoenix if he had done that, just with all. I mean, there would have just been no avoiding that melee. Thankfully, he didn't, because that would have been really scary for everybody involved. But that's not out of the realm of possibility. Someone cuts that too close one day, it is great. I'm with you. Stage one, I felt, went really quick, even with the comp caution.
Yes.
And then stage two. But, stage three, once we got into those green flag runs there a little bit, the pace seemed to pick up a little bit.
I agree. It was very entertaining, and I really just put down my work. I'll work on stuff stage one and stage two. Stage three, laptop was down. I'm sitting forward, just locked in on it.
So what are you going to do Sunday dirt race Bristol? Because that, I think the laptop's got to be closed the whole time.
Well, it depends what the weather is. Yeah, sure.
Fair enough. Speaking of weather, we got a doubleheader Saturday at Atlanta, cup race on Sunday at Atlanta. How are we looking for that, sir?
I'm going to need a little, an extra minute here, because I definitely want to cover what's going to be going on in Atlanta for the next couple of days. So sure. People are getting down there early. There's a slight risk for severe weather later Wednesday into early Thursday. That continues into Thursday afternoon. So we're talking about tornadic storms, large hail, wind gusts. I've got it at 60. We could see higher wind gusts than that. So we're going to have those, and those will continue into the Carolinas on Thursday. So if, I'm not sure. Can people even go down early anymore?
I have no idea.
Track the track, it seems.
Yeah.
But yeah, if anybody's there or going down early, definitely stay weather aware tomorrow night into midday Thursday for a risk of tornadic thunderstorms. We're going to get a pair of cold fronts. The first one Thursday is going to be setting up these storms. They're going to get a reinforcing cold front on Friday. That's going to leave us with a great weekend, though, and another fairly easy one for me as it stands right now. Partly cloudy skies, a northeast winds 10 to 15 miles an hour on Saturday, occasional gusts up to and over 20, high of 58, low of 44. The normal high is 70.
Wow.
And
that's,
then Sunday,
that's a variance. Yeah,
it's brisk. Sunday, partly cloudy, east winds 10 to 15, another one, occasional gusts, morning low of 38, high of 65. It's going to be a great weekend.
Is it Metro Detroit?
It could be. It's windy and cold. It'll be, honestly, Sunday morning might be talking wind chills.
Wow. And that's, we were talking off air of how I think we're done snow-wise up here, and hey, maybe Atlanta's going to get a little.
At least Western North Carolina could. And then we're talking about it off air. There's blizzard warnings up west of me down here in Oklahoma. And we're supposed to get tornadic storms tonight into more tomorrow morning for here. But it's going to be a pretty bumpy weekend across the South Central and Southeast U.S.
That's crazy.
Or not weekend, next couple of days.
Yeah. Wow. Intense. Well,
I'm ready for the weekend.
Yeah, I am too. Stay safe if you're heading down there. I'll have to check with Rusty and Sherwin. I haven't heard if they were going. But I
can't imagine they're not. It's another one where you don't know what the attendance numbers are, so you just...
Yeah, well, with Sherwin being in North Carolina now...
That's right, forgot.
So I know that probably is playing a little bit of a role there. But yeah, looking forward to their show tonight to hear about that. I have to text them because... I'm curious and all that good stuff. So,
yes. So,
all right, man. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter @RaceWeather and Brian Newdorf @NASCAR_WXMAN. But Before I let you go, sir, quick recap of the head-to-head fantasy battle.
Oh, yeah, that.
Somehow Brian picked up a week-high win, yet is sitting 55th in points.
Sorry. I know I did really bad. Not really bad, because Cedric won.
Yeah, but you and I are tied. At 30, I don't know what that means that you and I are tied. Like, and I don't want to jinx myself, but I might. But the last 3 weeks, I've inched up, and yeah. So I mean, if I can, we can pick up a few more spots this weekend and keep it going. We might get to the first page sooner rather than later.
I'm happy. I'll be happy with that. It'd just be weird. Last year I had a bad segment one as well.
Yeah, but you dominated segment. Was it last year or the year before? You just like went on a tear.
Last year.
Okay.
It was finishing the PhD, yeah, and being able to focus on other stuff.
I love it. Oh, all right, Matt. Well, good luck this week in Lab Traffic Fantasy. Everybody, make sure you follow Aaron and Brian on Twitter for all the weather updates as we get closer to the green flags this weekend. Yes, we've got three of them. Sir, good to catch up with you. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, and go blue on Sunday.
Go blue on Sunday. Great talking to you, too.
Yep, catch you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Lab Traffic Nation, great to catch up with Aaron. Catch him in a couple weeks. Catch Newdorf next week. But right now, it is time for some lucky dog and lap down picks. You guys know the drill. After the race, you can tweet your lucky dog and lap down picks. I'll read them on the show, or you can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I'll play them on the show. And don't forget, at the end of the year, it's been fun the last couple of years, a bonus show with the Lucky Dog and Lapdown tally. So keep them coming so I can add to that. I'm going to get into my Lucky Dog picks, and that's the fans. 5 for 5 winners, 5 great races. I will take it, and the trend is just going to continue. So the fans are my Lucky Dog this weekend. My lap down, non-NASCAR related. And hey, Lap Traffic Nation, it does not need to be NASCAR related. Have some fun with it. So my lap down, Michigan basketball. We'll see what happens, but expected to win the Big Ten tournament. Did not happen, and we're down a key player, as you heard Aaron and I talk about, so we'll see what happens. So hopefully they get my lucky dog in a couple weeks, but we shall see. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog is Martin Truex Jr. Wins even after I picked him in Lap Traffic Fantasy. Look at that. Lap down, Kyle Busch, only because he was a lap down. Lucky, or let's see, how did he phrase this? Lucky lap down dog tie. That's a tongue twister there. Is Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson shoot in the foot, climb back up, repeat, complete. I like that. Jeff at JBav1789's lucky dog. Penske and Gibbs taking control of short tracks lately. Penske is the team to beat right now, but Gibbs is right there. Lap down, Larson. Not sure he could beat the 19, but didn't do himself any favors having to come from the back multiple times, 100%. CJ at CJ LaPearl 24 is a lucky dog. Kyle Larson, he passed the entire field twice during the race, almost a third. Lap down is Kyle Busch, P25, all-around terrible run. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons lucky dog, the 19 car took a minute, but they dialed that car in for another short track-ish track win. See, I'm with you, Rowdy, because it just depends. You know, some people might consider Phoenix a short track and some might not. Short track-ish. I'm all about the ish. You guys know, if you pay attention closely to Twitter, right before I'm ready to post the show, I use a GIF. Show will be ready in about 20 minutes-ish. So I'm with you on the ish. Lap down, the 5 car of Kyle Larson. Spent the whole day turning a fast car. Another missed opportunity for a win and a bonus point. Only reason for a lap down. Kristen at KHoglin79's lucky dog to my guy Truex for getting it done. Lap down, Noah Gregson. I keep picking him, thinking it will finally be his week. I'm with you. You can't get all in like that. I have gotten into trouble for many years in Lap Traffic Fantasy thinking I'm going to ride it till he someone gets a win and it just does not work. But of course, the week you don't will be the week he gets it done. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, lucky dog Team Penske didn't get a win, but they all look strong all race. Lap down Larson for pit mistakes with what looked like the best car, and SHR for still being off the pace from the rest of the big teams. Yeah, Jess, it's kind of weird. Kind of weird. That's all I'm going to say. Mick at GoDucks 42 underscore Mick. Lucky dog Truex got it done. Lap down speeding penalties with you 100%. Brian at Stormin B81. Lucky dog. I don't know. It's probably the worst race of the year. Oh, man. I'm going to need you to elaborate on that one because I thought it was pretty good. Lap down NASCAR. I don't even know what warrants a caution anymore. Kyle spins with no debris and a caution. Cole Custer slammed the wall with debris everywhere. Nothing. Now, I will give you that one 100% there, sir. And Carson Hagelin, who you're going to hear from in a little bit, or in a few seconds probably, with the Lap Traffic Fantasy. His lucky dog is Brandon Brown for finishing third in the Xfinity race. Lap down goes to Noah Gregson for the engine issue that led to a 39th place finish. Bad luck last few weeks. Yes, sir. All right. Those are your tweeted responses. Let's get to a couple Wave Around hotline calls.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Camper News Net. I thought this weekend with the cup race at Phoenix, couple of things I'll say first. Martin Truex Jr. getting the win. I really did think Martin Truex Jr., he didn't have a good car early on, but his team kept on dialing it in, got a pretty good finish in the second stage, and was able to win it. And I believe as the race went on, Martin Truex Jr. really got more comfortable with his car. His car, I think, was more dialed in, and he was able to stay up there and, you know, pass Joey Logano late in the race to win the race today at Phoenix. The other thing I want to mention is Kyle Larson, last week's winner, of course, at Las Vegas. Kyle Larson twice went through the field, and I thought, honestly, Kyle Larson, I thought when it came to the third time he went through the field, I really thought Kyle Larson could have won this race, but it wasn't meant to be. But it was really, I think, good effort by Kyle Larson today as well. And I think we're starting to see more of the, you know, obviously you talked about it in your show last week, more of the better drivers, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski. I think we're going to start seeing more of those first, those situations where we're going to have winners that are really consistent. More are coming, I think, for these consistency drivers. So anyway, I got two lap downs. First of all, as I mentioned, regarding Martin Truex Jr. I mentioned earlier what I thought about that. And my second lucky dog is going to go to Kyle Larson for what he did going through the field twice. And I thought Kyle Larson was going to potentially do it again, but it wasn't meant to be, as I mentioned earlier. And I have no up-downs for this week. And with that, hope you all enjoy your week. As always, Brandon, Lap Traffic Nation, and I'll talk to you next weekend after the race at Atlanta. Thank you so much, Brandon. Take care. Bye.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Matt, for calling in. Appreciate you as always. When you talk about Kyle Larson running through the field, as soon as you said Larson running through the field, one thing came to mind, and that was Kyle Larson running up front at Eldora a couple years ago, having a tire go down, driving back through the field and winning the race. That's got me reconsidering slightly my thoughts here of the streak continuing through Atlanta and Bristol. And I'm maybe putting a little bit more faith and stock in Kyle Larson being able to do that, at Bristol. You know, he's got the probably the most active experience running dirt. Granted, different cars. You know, he was running modifieds, wingtips, sprint cars, and all that last summer. But that said, he was winning in all those different types of cars as well. So he can make adjustments quick. He can probably relay some pretty important information to help get that car dialed in. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm 100% changing my mind, but I wouldn't be surprised there. So thanks for sparking that trip down memory lane, Matt. Appreciate that. All right, we only got one more on the Wave Around Hotline. It's a short one this week from the voice of the Wave Around Hotline, Andrew Kansian.
What's going on? Lap Traffic Nation, voice of the Wave Around Hotline at Racing Cans. Going to keep it short and simple this week. Lucky Dog, 5 for 5 on different race winners. Getting close to 16. Lap down. PJ1, VHP, Boogers, whatever the hell we call it now. It really doesn't work almost anywhere. Been saying that for a while. Nobody listens to me. Race could have been better without it. Just saying. Have a good week.
Mr. Andrew Kansian, were you calling from under the blanket at 2 o'clock in the morning? What was going on there, my man? I love it. Oh man, I cannot wait for Andrew Kansian's call after the dirt race at Bristol. That's all I'm gonna say about that. All right, that is gonna do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to close this thing out with some Lap Traffic Fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. Check the website if you need to see who you've picked and who you still have eligible for Segment 1. Keep the Twitter interaction up on Twitter using hashtag LTFantasy. Eight cup races to go in Segment 1, let's put it that way. Let's get to this week's fantasy stuff. Let's get this week's guest picker on the line. It's Carson Hagelin. Carson, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Brandon?
I'm awesome, man. Thanks for calling in tonight. I appreciate it. Nice job this past week with the picks there. What'd you think of the racing it this week at Phoenix?
It's typical Phoenix. One groove, but very entertaining racing.
I thought so, man. I was, you know, as I talked about it with Tyler Riddick earlier tonight, and to me it just feels like Phoenix is got its own character that's developing, and like you said, that one groove, hopefully that can start to spread out over the next couple years, hopefully, and maybe even next year with the new car. But if that happens, man, Phoenix is going to be must-see entertainment. All right, man, let's recap our picks from last week. I had 95 points with my picks of Burton and Logano. Lap Traffic Nation, I don't want to jinx myself, but I have moved up 3 weeks in a row, 62nd to 55th, and jumped big time to 37th. Carson, man, nice job this past week. You scored the highest points possible. Like, there wasn't anything that could have been missed. You literally picked the highest scores for both races with Cindric and Logano there. Nice job there. What went into your picks this past weekend?
Well, for the cup race, Joey Logano, I was there last spring when he won, and usually he's run good there. And then Cindric winning the championship race, he usually always runs good there. Just kind of easy picks for me.
Just rolled with it. I love it. Well, hey, easy for you, but not for the rest of the field out there in Lap Traffic Fantasy, because no one, I don't think anybody was close to your score. Might have been 10, 15 points off. So nice job there. I'm going to read through the top 10 here real quick. Right now in first with 536 points is Fred Leclerc. In second with 524 is Michael Masson. In third with 519 is Jess Rose. In fourth with 512 is David Mullins. Wrapping out the top five from Fox is CJ Wolliver with 506. The MOATF podcast keeps dropping. They're going to be with me in the basement sooner rather than later. They're in sixth with 499. Pete Kervin in seventh with 497. Our guest picker tonight, Carson Hagelin, is in eighth with 496. John Entwistle in ninth with 481. And Robert Riggs wraps out the top 10 with 479. And bonus points, there were quite a few scored this week. We've got probably close to 15 or so players with bonus points. Brett Morris, Brian Newdorf, and our guest picker, Carson Hagelin, has got two bonus points. So keep coming with those guys. And then there's a bunch of people with 1 point each. As that spreads out, I'll read through those a little bit more. All right, man, what do you say? You ready to make some picks for Atlanta?
Yeah, sure am.
All right, let's do it. Lap Traffic Fantasy Players, we are headed back east to Atlanta, where it's been the Ford, Kevin, and Brad show as of late. They've picked up the last four wins at the track. Prior to that, you got to go all the way back to 2013 to get an active driver, and that was Kyle Busch. And speaking of Kyle Busch, he's got a couple top tens over the last few starts at Atlanta. So too does our most recent winner, Martin Truex Jr. In fact, he's got three top fives in a row. Chevy does not have an active past winner at Atlanta. How crazy is that? Can Ford keep it up and get five in a row? Do we get our sixth in a row with a different winner? Can I continue to climb the standings? We'll find out this weekend. But first, it's time for our picks. Carson, I'll start with you. Who is your pick this week for the truck series?
I'm going to go with the 2016 winner, John Hunter Nemechek.
John Hunter Nemechek. I like that. Back-to-back wins there for him, maybe. I like that. I am going to go with Austin Hill. Hattori Racing, I got a feeling they're going to step up their game this week in Atlanta. They like the mile and a half and 2 mile program in the truck series, so I'm going to look for Austin Hill to make some noise this week. I'll turn it over to you, sir. Who is your pick for the Xfinity series?
I'm going to go with Austin Cindric again this week.
Cindric, double up. I like that. Safe pick. I'm torn. I literally have three names written down here. Brandon Jones, AJ Allmendinger, Noah Gregson. I know there's a lot of people that have been taking Noah Gregson and have been crashing and burning with him as of late. Maybe I can bring some lap traffic luck. I am going to go with Noah Gregson this week. All right. The big one, Cup Sunday. Who can save tires and get it done at Atlanta?
I'm going to go with someone who is always good there, Kevin Harvick.
Man. I'm not sure if you're aware of this curse that I like to bring upon people that make the same pick as I do. But Kevin Harvick, I've been saving him. I've been waiting. He is also my pick. But let's see if you and I can change things around and make it happen with Kevin Harvick.
I hope so.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Hey, thank you so much for calling in. Make sure you email me your picks still for Atlanta, and good luck this weekend.
Yep, you have some good luck, too.
Thanks, man. We'll catch you soon.
Yep.
See ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 229 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. While you're there, check out the newly redone store. Go to YouTube, the Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, all at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget about the contest, the Clint Boyer diecast and some Lap Traffic swag and a little over 200 followers. Huge thanks to Tyler Riddick, Aaron Studwell, and Carson Haglin for calling into the show tonight. Still working on somebody for next week, but I'm sure we'll get something lined up. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!